Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
Introduction to 2 Timothy. Tonight will be a little bit different style, as we're going to not so much into the preaching, but more the conceptual big picture of 2 Timothy. Probably most of you remember we did a study not all that long ago, verse by verse, through 1 Timothy. We're going to just take a minute, consider that, and then we're going to see the big picture of 2 Timothy. I remember in reading class, 8th grade, our teacher taught us when you pick up a textbook, you would do well to flip through the table of contents and look at the big picture where the book is going to go. And it's really good advice. I don't know about you, but when I pick up a book along that line, I like to flip through the whole thing. Usually I start at the back. I want to know where I'm going. And you get there easier when you have some general guideline. It's a whole lot easier to figure out. So I want to give that to you tonight to help you understand and get the big picture of 2 Timothy. But quickly, by way of review, Paul obviously had written a 1 Timothy, a letter to Timothy, a young pastor. I probably think one of the most profound things that carries in from 1 Timothy to 2 Timothy is, where was he? Ephesus, the center of worship of the goddess Diana, of great immorality. And he is in the shadow of this pagan worship. And the church is very young. It hasn't been all that long. We have departed from the Jewish system into the church. Paul being used greatly to train up the people to understand this new thing called the church, where there's neither Jew nor Greek. We're all one in Christ Jesus. And so here is Timothy in the shadow of Diana, pagan worship, and he starts out. Now, Timothy, basically, he said in chapter 1, make sure you have sound doctrine. He talked in chapter 2, instructions for reliance on God and the woman's role in church. In chapter 3, he talked about the offices in the church, requirements for bishops, deacons. He then goes on and tells his purpose, why he wrote the book. He says, I want to come to you, but if I don't come, he said, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. Church behavior, he gave to them. Major part of why he wanted to write 1 Timothy, conduct in the church. Sound doctrine. Win converts out of this pagan society and train them up that the way of Diana is wrong. Get them into sound doctrine, that they teach the same thing. Pass it on, that they may pass it on. Tremendous responsibility on this young man. He then talked in chapter 4 of 1 Timothy of the coming apostasy, which he'll reference again in 2 Timothy. Chapter 5, he talked about the pastor's responsibility in the church, correcting people, widows, instructions for conduct towards an elder and miscellaneous. He then went on to instructions to servants, and he charges Timothy, and he gives his farewell. Well, time has passed, and now Paul takes pen in hand again, if I can use that expression, and he's going to write from a jail cell. A letter, again, to Timothy. Gleaning many things from the various commentaries, let me put this together. Timothy represented the new generation of the church leadership, with Titus, others. But the apostles are aging, martyred. They have been trained up by Jesus Christ, and they passed it on, and they're now going the way of the earth. Timothy, Paul says, I'm going to die soon. You're going to have to carry the torch. And now it's been thousands of years later, these letters still stand to teach us to carry the torch. The work that God still has for us. Paul left Timothy in Ephesus, gave him the responsibility of refuting false teachers, organizing local congregations, and to challenge men, elders, to teach sound doctrine. Awesome responsibility. I do believe that, yes, this is a pastoral epistle written to pastor But I believe we can all learn from this, the many truths. If nothing else, learn the responsibility on a pastor to help you understand the responsibility and therefore obviously a good response to the pastor as he shepherds the church. Paul makes a very interesting conclusion in this letter, and throughout you'll see a very personal touch that's not normal. As a general rule, he obviously has some personal notes, but it's almost, if you will, Paul in his known last days, he knows he's going to go meet the Lord, and his tone is kind of reflection. Many times in this short book of 2 Timothy, he's going to, if you will, reminisce personal experiences, good and bad, people that have departed, people that have done him harm, but those that stayed with him. He's reflecting from a jail cell. What thoughts and feelings must have filled Paul, knowing he would soon face his executioner? Reflecting on his ministry, Paul must have felt joy remembering his conversion on the road to Damascus, his session with the Jerusalem elders, his trips throughout the world preaching the gospel and planting churches, the explosive spread of Christianity among Gentiles, and his faithful co-workers and close friends, Barnabas, Silas, Priscilla, Aquila, Luke, Peter, James, Mark, Lydia, and so many others. But Paul must also have felt a twinge of sadness and regret as he recalled those who had harmed or deserted him or had left the faith, Demas, Alexander, Hymenaeus, and others. And there he sat alone in a jail cell, him and his thoughts with the Lord, the path that he had gone, remembering that he held the coat once as they stoned Stephen. As he lay in his cell awaiting martyrdom, at the command of the madman Nero, he was not alone with his feelings. Visitors had come. Luke was present. God was there. Paul did not spend his final days and hours wallowing in despair. He encouraged and taught others, read, and wrote. What would you do if you knew you were going to be executed soon? 1 Timothy, Paul wrote about conduct and importance of sound doctrine in the church. But now in 2 Timothy, he's going to talk about enduring hardness and holding forth the truth in the midst of apostasy. If Paul thought apostasy was coming in his day, I wonder what he'd think if he was alive today to see the state of Christianity. Consider two key verses in this book, 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study, Timothy. You've got to stay in the word of God, especially in these times of apostasy, that you're preaching truth. And that you're going to be a workman, not ashamed of the stand that you take for the truths of God. And then he says in chapter 4, verse 2, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Lead your sheep in spirituality and be ready all the time. A simple outline of this book could be chapter 1, stand firm in suffering. Chapter 2, stand firm in service. Chapter 3, stand firm in the midst of apostasy. And chapter 4, the Lord is faithful to His people. Very important concept to remember as he is facing execution and he still tells the Lord's faithful. Would you find the Lord faithful if you were going to be executed? Paul was quite a guy. Kind of sub-themes, if you will, throughout the book is boldness, faithfulness, preaching and teaching, and the ever-present error that will arise. We'll see more of those as we study this great book. Paul is writing to inspire, challenge, and motivate Timothy to carry on the ministry. And yet as he writes with, I'm sure, some sadness. As he reminisces, he references to death, suffering. He references a little bit his prison life, hints of impending martyrdom. And yet it's not depressing. You don't read this and leave it discouraged, but rather the reality of this world. Folks, I hope you have figured this out. Christians are in enemy territory. We're not at home. There's a very real battle going on for the souls of men. You know, you think about the incredible growth of the church in the early days and think about Christianity. What were they doing? Outright persecution. Feeding Christians to the lions. Nero used them as torches for his parties at the palace, lighting them. And Christianity flourished. Satan changed his tactic, put Christians to sleep with the good life. And here we are today. God's blessing me. Look at all that I have. And Christianity flourished when they were being thrown to the lions. Did you know that persecution does away with the phonies? Real fast. Nobody is going to go to the lion's den for something they don't really believe. And Christians have been lulled to sleep, like Jonah in that boat. Paul was amazing. Although deserted by former friends and facing death, he continued to fight the good fight and to challenge and inspire others to greatness. Paul's primary focus was to be faithful to Christ and to his call as a minister of the gospel. So here we are at the end of this man's life. It definitely has very personal overtones. Consider 2 Timothy 4:7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. It's over. He's going to die. I have kept the faith. Oh, that we can say that when our time draws nigh. Listen, folks, we're all going to stumble. But get up and keep going, because there is a world beyond this, there's a kingdom beyond this that's worth it all. If you also read this in the midst of all of the reminiscence, if you will, there is a very serious gentleness to what he writes. It's solemn, if you will, joyful, but definitely a mood of reflection. Many kind and gentle words, and he says, 2 Timothy 2:24, admonishing Timothy, Timothy, the servant of the Lord, must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. And so here it is. Be gentle. Be gentle. Don't strive. You're going to be in a civilization, a society of apostasy. Be gentle, apt to teach. Help them to understand. Again, we're going to get back into these more and more as we go, verse by verse through this book. Timothy, there is coming incredible apostasy, a total desertion of the principles of the faith, the collective body of biblical truth. Apostasy is not ignorance. It is out and out heresy, a deliberate error, an intentional departure from faith. Do we not see that today? People do not want to come and hear fundamental truths. They want to feel good when they walk out of church. When you sat in math class and your teacher taught you a new concept, did you really walk out all joyous and emotionally excited? But you learned something that would affect your life. How much greater? This coming apostasy will be so great that look at the words of Jesus, Luke 18:8. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth? Is there going to be faith? That's how bad it's going to get. Now remember this. Think about this. Paul writing from a jail cell. Look what he wrote to the people at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 4:15. Paul is writing, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we, Paul included himself, we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. We. He thought he was getting raptured 1900 years ago. And he says, Timothy, at that rapture, the faith is going to really be bad. Look at this. In 1 Timothy 6:14, that thou, you Timothy, Paul is saying, listen, Timothy, keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord. Timothy, surely you're going to see the return of the Lord. 1900 years ago. They thought the Lord was coming then. Hang in there, Timothy, the Lord's coming. Let us consider the two departures. The church is going to depart from faith, 2 Timothy 4:3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers. They will go out and find teachers that will say what they want them to say. Will there be any faith when the Son of Man returns? He said they're going to be out. They will find the teachers. They'll heap them. They'll just find, oh man, I watched this guy, and I watched this guy, and I listened to this guy, and I listened to this guy. Really? And so it is that we have the church departing from sound doctrine. But look at the other departure. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord, we're going to be caught up. We're going to depart too. A lot of Christians are going to be departing from sound doctrine, but ultimately the church is going to depart from the face of this earth. We were told that perilous times are coming, but folks, God never told the church to fear and worry. Look up. God never told the church to worry. Paul emphasizes standing strong in the Word of God. Study to show yourself approved as this coming apostasy. And preach the Word, even when they don't want to hear it and they want to heap unto themselves teachers. They have itching ears. Preach it, Timothy, preach it. Consider the apostasy even today. How many churches have replaced doctrine with psychology of some sort? Or ethics? I'm not against ethics, but that ought never replace Scripture. How about the social gospel? We want a better human relations, pacifism, social justice, and the like. Listen, I know there are a lot of injustices in this world, but it ought not to replace Scripture in the church. The real hope for man comes from the preaching of the Word, and the people take it. They digest it. The Holy Spirit illuminates them to the understanding, and we ought to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Folks, that's true hope. But the churches at large are moving away from sound doctrine. Chapter 1 of 2 Timothy is standing firm in suffering. Paul has an introduction. He shares his genuine concern. He has prayers for Timothy. He shares his confidence in Timothy, and he says, Timothy, remember the gift that you have. He says, don't be ashamed, but rather be a partaker of the afflictions. And Paul gives his testimony that he is not ashamed. Chapter 2, stand firm in service as a son, a good soldier, an athlete, a farmer, a workman, a vessel, and a servant. And in chapter 3, stand firm in the midst of this coming apostasy. He gives the conditions of the last days. He talks about the authority of the Scriptures and the effects of holy living. And he concludes in chapter 4, the Lord is faithful to His people, even as He sits in a jail cell and waits His execution, because He knows that He is going to His death for the Lord. Let's go through this a little more. Big picture, and yet cite some examples. Paul starts out in chapter 1 with standing firm in the suffering. He introduces Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, peace from God and the Father of Christ Jesus our Lord. He goes on, Timothy, don't be ashamed. Stand strong. He says in verse 8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Don't be ashamed of it. Take it on. Consider Paul's testimony in verse 12 of chapter 1, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know who I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." And so he could sit there and write this powerful letter while he awaits his execution. Because I know who I've believed. Chapter 2. Stand firm in service. Now Paul is going to go through a series of comparisons. In 2 Timothy 2:1, "Thou therefore my son," and he's going to address him as a son, "be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." In verse 3, he's going to talk to him as a soldier. "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier." Again, we're going to get more into this, but would you please really reflect what it must be like to literally be a soldier? Bullets flying around, knowing they are literally trying to kill you. And he says, hold your ground. How much greater is the spiritual battle? There really are forces of evil out there that want to ruin your testimony. He then says in verse 5, as an athlete, as if a man also strive for masteries. And he's going to compare these things, how Timothy ought to behave in the midst of this suffering, in this service, stand strong. As a farmer, verse 6, the husbandman, the farmer that laboreth. Timothy, look at him and learn. And then he says in verse 15, like a workman, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. Different characteristics that we should learn from. In verse 20, as a vessel, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth. Learn from the vessels. And then in verse 24, learn from the servant and the servant of the Lord. So many comparisons here that we can learn from, and Paul used to admonish Timothy to stand strong. He's passing the mantle on. I will no longer be on this earth. It's up to you, Timothy. Pass it on and stand strong. Chapter 3, stand firm in the midst of the coming apostasy. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Interesting that Paul would be moved by the Holy Spirit to use that expression, the last days. The last days. I believe clearly he's referring to the last days of the church. "Know this, in the last days perilous times shall come." We do live in a more and more dangerous world, and it's coming our way. You watch the news, it just seems more and more and more violence. Right here in our hometown. I read about bank robberies at banks that I seem to think are pretty safe. And I could be in that lobby and somebody could walk in. Perilous times, I believe, have come. Paul thought they were here 1900 years ago. He talks then about the authority of the Scriptures and the effects of holy living. "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Not maybe. You live holy and you're going to start to face some opposition. That's a good sign. You must be on the right path. Don't look for it. Don't be obnoxious and generate opposition and persecution. You just serve God. Just serve God. Chapter 4, the Lord is faithful to His people. Instructions to Timothy for the last days. Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Timothy, I'm ready to die, for I am now ready to be offered. Chapter 4, verse 6. And the time of my departure is at hand. And then he gives a series, I just gave you one verse, of very, very, very personal, heartfelt comments that he makes. Timothy, verse 9, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Do everything you can shortly, because I'm not going to be here much longer. It was no easy journey to come from Ephesus to visit Paul. Come, Timothy. the personal, a dear friend. Please come. And so it is, we have the, if you will, reflections and yet the divine inspired words through the Holy Spirit to move Paul to write this short but powerful letter as he faces the executioner. Let me read to summarize the book. Paul's introduction is tender, and every phrase exudes the love he has for Timothy. He then reminds Timothy of the qualities necessary for a faithful minister of Jesus Christ. Timothy should remember his call and use his gifts with boldness. Keep the truth, prepare others to follow him in the ministry, be disciplined and ready to endure suffering, and keep his eyes and mind focused on Christ. Paul challenges Timothy to hold to sound doctrine, reject error, and avoid godless chatter, correctly handling the word of truth, and keep his life pure. Next, Paul warns Timothy in the opposition that he and other believers would face in the last days from self-centered people who use the church for their own gain and teach false doctrines. Paul tells Timothy to be prepared for these unfaithful people by remembering his example, understanding the real source of the opposition, and finding strength and power in the Word of God. Then Paul gives Timothy a stirring challenge: preach the Word and fulfill his ministry unto the end. A summary of the book that we have just gone through here is the big picture. Paul concludes with personal requests and items of information. In his final words, he reveals his loneliness and strong love for his brothers and sisters in Christ. This great man struck down on the road to Damascus, trained up and used mighty by God to write the texts of the Scriptures that teach us of the church that we now live in today. A man who was so learned in the law, the Jewish law, and yet God turned that energy, got a hold of him, and he dedicated himself to serving the God and the people of that God that he once so desperately persecuted. How would you like to carry that on you day by day? You were responsible for imprisoning Christians. But Paul moved on beyond that. Learn a lesson right there. Are there things in your past? Move on. Move on. God forgave you when you confess it, and he's got work for you to do. Don't dwell on it. We're going to get into next week and over the next couple months, verse by verse, in this great book of 2 Timothy.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.